Go. Welcome everyone to a new episode of The Tap. I'm your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin D. Francisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
We're going to go and pretty much cover a bit of Impact. They had Victory Road over the weekend, and they had obviously their Impact taping last week as well. And then we're going to cover AEW Rampage as well. And I'm going to try my best to hang in there because I keep losing my voice today. So we're going to go ahead and try to get through this as fast as we can also.
Yeah. Yep.
We're going to start off with Impact. First off, the match of the night was honestly, even despite the 10-man tag team title, 10-man tag team match at the end of the show, TJP and Petey Williams tore the house down.
Yeah.
Hands down, best match of the night on Impact Wrestling last week.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, Petey Williams has been around a long time. I mean, people forget he invented the Canadian Destroyer as a finisher, and now it's just a transitional move. But, you know, but yeah, when he hits it, it still looks devastating. You know, he still does it well anyway. Yeah, and TJP is like he's always innovating, and he's like a master like submission technician now with all the crazy stuff that he does, where he wraps people up and twists them around like a pretzel. So I always love watching that. So it's not shocking.
Yeah. No, it's not shocking at all. And I feel I definitely know that they've competed against each other before, and it was a great match. And this one just, it was like nonstop reversals. Like, how many times did Petey Williams try to go for the Canadian Destroyer only for TJP to reverse it? And then TJP's actually gone for the Canadian Destroyer at least one time during the match, which got reversed. And then Petey Williams puts on the sharpshooter. It was just like, it was craziness. It was just nonstop action. And I was just like, damn, dude. I'm like, this was great.
Yeah.
Like, this is, if they actually made more of their matches similar to this, and I know that they try to do what other promotions other than WWE does, which is try to make it a well-rounded show. So you kind of get like a lot of different styles of wrestling. But honestly, if they just did mostly X Division stuff, it would be that's their bread and butter. Like that
it
show
always has been. I was just going to say, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say that. They've always been good with their more than anything, their lack of a better term, cruiserweight division, you know, X division, whatever. They're the best in the world at that, definitely. So they really should be pushing that, but I guess, you know, you got to have your world title and it's like whatever, but I mean, like, I feel like X division should always get a big spotlight because it's always been what's like kept them in business all these years.
Yeah, I mean, it really has. And obviously their knockouts division too was always, you know, something that was really on point.
They were innovative in that way with a lot
of this. They really kind of gave like the whole women's revolution thing before there was ever a women's revolution.
Exactly.
And I always applauded Impact Wrestling, TNA, whatever you want to call them, for doing just that.
Yep, I agree.
But then we actually get to the big 10-man tag, which was another really good match. It just, even with 10 guys in there, it couldn't compare to the one-on-one match between TJP and Petey. But in that match, you had, who was it again? I'm trying to remember. Madman Fulton, Ace Austin, Morrissey, Moose, and Brian Myers losing to Christian Cage, Chris Sabin, Josh Alexander, Eddie Edwards, and Sami Callihan.
Yep.
It was a good match. It was definitely a lot of just like high spot moments for like,
well, yeah,
to
that's
try to hit
the
their
thing.
Finishers. Well,
that's the thing that's about 10-man tags. There's never enough time for everybody to really tell a story. It's just everybody get in and do your spots and then the match is over.
And that's part of why I have such issues when it comes to these multi-man matches. I mean, I'm not even really big on the trios matches, but I'll watch them because AEW actually does them right. But I usually hate 6-man tag matches, 8-man tag matches, 10-man.
They're coming. They're coming. Those trios titles are coming AEW soon enough.
Oh, I'm sure, because I actually saw someone who had designed, I think it was the TNT title, had showed a brief
around.
Yeah.
There was like a template going around for like a new championship that
I bet anything it's the trios title.
Yep. I agree.
And I retract what I said. I think it was like a year ago, maybe a little bit less. I was online and people were saying like they wanted a trios title. I'm like, no. I'm like, the trios, I'm like, doing trios sucks. I'm like, you don't have enough of them.
No, they have so many. No, AEW actually has so many.
Well, that's why I said I'm retracting what I said.
Yeah.
Because that was what I had said.
Yeah.
And AEW has really developed these trios. So as long as they are keeping these trios together, it's fine.
Yeah,
if they do the stupid thing like WWE does, where, hey, let's create an entire division for a tag team and then start breaking up tag teams at will, then you're going to run into big problems.
Well, they're proving so far that that's working, because I like that they're not going to split people up because they've had people that have been there since day one as tag teams, four man team. Yeah, Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. I was just thinking, as soon as we were thinking trios titles, first few things I thought of was either Kenny Omega in the Bucks or Adam Cole in the Bucks. And then I thought of any number of Dark Order members, Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, and then Jurassic Express, or even like, and that's what Marco Stunt, but even not what Marco Stunt, Christian Cage instead. I know, but I'm just saying, because it's possible, because they can just throw him around. They just use Marco as like a steel chair and they just whip him into everybody.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams. And then you got different divisions, like you could have FTR and Shawn Spears, you could have Jericho and Santana and Ortiz, or Jake Hager and Santana and
Ortiz. I was thinking more of either Hager, Santana and Ortiz, or Sammy Guevara and Santana and Ortiz.
Yeah, I could even see them doing a combination of Sammy Hager and Jericho. Like there's a lot of Sammy Hager,
Jericho, Sammy Hagar.
Yep,
that's what they should be called.
there's
a lot of possibilities when it comes to doing a trios in AEW. Do like it now, and I retract my comment from either earlier this year or last year. Whenever I made that comment online, I do retract it, because I do feel AEW is doing it in a good way, as long as they stay doing it this way.
They have enough talent and enough talent that they use and think about on the regular that I think that they'll actually be able to pull it off. ROH wasn't that bad either with it, but it's like they still didn't have as big of a roster. Like this is like double, triple the roster.
Here's my thing. ROH has a decent roster, but they don't have enough trios.
Exactly.
You have
everyone's right now, in a faction have, in AEW.
Well, they're kind of doing that for a lot of ROH right now. They didn't do it previously, but they're doing it now, where it's like four or five different factions right now that are going on in ROH. But out of those four or five factions, you're only having one trio out of it technically. And I mean, not for nothing, you're not the main faction warfare that's been going on hasn't been even involving the trios titles. It's been the tag team titles, which I didn't even get to see ROH TV, but apparently that got passed back over to the foundation again. So the foundation ended up getting that again. But it's been all over the TV title, the pure title, the heavyweight title,
and everything but the trio.
Everything but the trios. And now you moved the heavyweight title out of that faction warfare for the time being, and it's just the TV, the tag, and the pure titles, really. And even the pure title, they just moved out of it now with Josh Woods.
And even when it was in there, it's like they had, you know, Josh
Gresham had it for like ever.
Jonathan Gresham holding both titles, though. He had that and one of the tag team titles.
But he never dropped the pure title at all during that entire time.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but I'm saying like they had it all the titles literally within one or two factions, except for the trios. They just don't care about the trios.
No. But going back to what my original point was.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. We like to go down the rabbit holes. Yes. No, my main point of it is that when you do have more than just the trios or six-man tags, it gets chaotic. And I mean, not for nothing, they went through like two commercial breaks in just bringing people out to the ring for this 10-man tag.
Jeez.
If you went back to it, they started doing the entrances. I think it was like they did two entrances, like two or three entrances. They cut to break. They came back. They were still doing more entrances for everybody. And then they finally had like just about everybody coming out. They cut to break again. And then when they came back, that's when they started the bell.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
this is one time where those this is the one time where, you know, you could have cut somebody's entrances in the ring where we would have been okay with the WWE of like just them already being in the ring. You know, because
pretty much, I mean, really,
or like one team or like a half of the team already being in the ring like when they came back from the first commercial. And then if they're going like
Moose and Morrissey, they could have came out together.
Yeah,
you know, they could have came out together. Who was it? Christian should have basically came out with like almost the entire team. You know, you could have had Christian come out with Josh Alexander and Chris Sabin, and then
you could have had it just you could have had the lights music and him come out with the entire team because he's the world champion. It would have made sense.
Yeah, no, but the thing that I would have said for that would have been having Christian come out with Sabin and Alexander to the ring, and then the lights go out, Sammy's music comes on, and then Eddie and Sammy come out at the same time together in the ring. That would have been cool.
That would be cool, yeah.
All right, getting off of Impact, well, the main show anyway, we'll just give you a quick rundown of their Victory Road results, because to be honest with you, I wasn't really impressed by the match lineup that they had or the results. So Steve Macklin beats Petey Williams and TJP. This is actually stemming from the Impact match that they had TJP and Petey Williams, because Macklin came out and destroyed both of them afterwards.
So who is Steve Macklin?
He was,
would I know him under another name? Maybe.
Yes. Yeah, no, first off, he's Deonna Purrazzo's boyfriend. In real life. He's the guy, Steve, what's his name? Cutler? Cutler, yes.
Thank you. From the Forgotten Sons. Okay.
Forgotten Sons. That's what I was trying to get.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. You just forgot them. It's all right. That was the point of the gimmick.
They're forgotten, all right.
Yep.
Next up, you had Laredo Kid getting the win over Jake Something, Trey Miguel, John Skyler, and Black Taurus. I guess it was a six-way match.
Yeah.
Or five-way match, I should say. Sorry. You had Taylor Wilde, who had Jordan Grace and Rachel Ellering in her corner, finally get the win over Tennille Dashwood, who had The Influence, which is Madison Rain and Caleb with a K, in her corner.
God. Caleb Connolly's been around for so long in Impact. No offense to him, I don't know why they keep him around or like why he's still there. I'm sorry, because like I don't get it. They had him as Suicide because he can't talk. He was the last reincarnation of Suicide.
Was he really?
Yes, he was. He was the last legitimate, like when they actually had Suicide as a character for the last time, like a couple of years ago. He was Suicide.
Well, they actually had brought Suicide back recently too.
I don't know who it is like this time, if it was, but I know in like 20 15 to 17 ish. He was suicide for sure. He was like they put him like, and that was while whenever Austin Aries was actually the world champion there eating bananas like an idiot before Pentagon Jr. won it from him. Suicide was around then. That was Caleb Connolly. So yeah, and he's also been like many different characters. I forget, he was somebody else's tag team partner, then that person got fired. He's always like the third wheel of like a lot of teams because like they never have any idea where to put him. But I mean, Caleb with a K, man, like what else can you say?
Yeah, I'm actually trying to look for who
he was. Definitely Suicide, because when I looked up who is Suicide, because when I was like, you know, whatever, like 5 years ago,
there was
whatever,
so many was people like, who were Suicide.
Yeah, actually, yeah, TJP being one of them, because he was Manic, which is where the Suicide, the logo comes from. Austin Aries was also Suicide, speaking of that.
Daniels.
Christopher Daniels, as well as Curry Man.
Yes. Oh, God, I remember Curry Man.
Yeah. Yeah,
Zachary Wentz took on the role in 2020.
Oh, wow. So he was the last one. So so Caleb was the one before him. So Caleb was the one before him. Yep.
I'm just trying to see if I can get a list. So yeah, Frankie Kazarian was the first one.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Christopher Daniels then.
Mm-hmm.
Kiyoshi in 2010.
Yep.
TJ Perkins, 2013 to 2016. Jonathan Gresham in 2016.
Wow, that is
Caleb Connolly was from 2017 through current, actually. Really? And Zachary Wentz had it also in 2020.
Oh, nice.
So it looks like Caleb Connolly is actually still the current one.
Yeah, so like if they ever bring him back for like, because he's a recurring character.
They bring him back
as he pleases. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, let me go back to my other screen. So yeah, Taylor got the one on that win on that one. Matt Cardona beat Rohit Raju in a no DQ match. Bullet Club's Chris Bay and Hikuleo get the win over Finjuice.
Yep.
Eddie Edwards and Sammy Callahan actually lost to Moose and W. Morrissey.
Ooh.
Well, this is what I actually wound up seeing for it was it says at the end of the match, W. Morrissey grabbed Alicia Edwards and delivered a strong power bomb. Sammy Callahan came to her aid, but was double teamed for it. And that's how he ended up losing the match.
Wow.
You had Rosemary and Havoc retain the tag team titles over Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. Good Brothers kept the titles over Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Josh Alexander gets the win over Chris Sabin, successfully retaining the X Division Championship. And then we had Christian Cage getting the win over Ace Austin. And it looks like it's going to be option C. For Josh Alexander. He's going with option C, and he's going to be challenging Christian Cage at Bound for Glory.
So with that, what do you think of option C? I don't know if I ever asked your opinion on this.
You never did.
No, I mean like even back in the day, because it was around then, because that's like when it started in like the late 2000s, early 2010s with Austin Aries. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you think about the option C? Do you think it like, I think it makes sense because it's obvious that the world title is the number one title, but some people see it as a sort of snub to the X Division title. It makes it feel less important.
I definitely feel like it's not that it makes it feel less important. I think when it comes to it, what I hate is you're giving up the X Division title for the chance to become world champion.
Yeah.
In most instances, you usually cash in and you win.
Yeah.
But you're giving up that title. So now if you lose, you gave up that title.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that I have with it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, not only do you not win the other championship, you lost the title that you had. and then you have to start from scratch.
Yep.
So I don't like that. I don't like that either. To me, I like when certain people do it. Sometimes I feel like it's not warranted. Sometimes I also feel like when you are the secondary champion and you've been beating everybody, I think that should just earn you a title shot for the world title in general.
Yeah.
I don't think that you should have to give up your title, whatever happened to a champion versus champion. Same as when Bobby Lashley was like he held like every title and like it was like whatever, whoever the Impact champion was, it might have been Eddie Edwards. Yeah, Eddie Edwards versus, yeah, because that's how he won the title. Okay, so it was Eddie Edwards' X Division title on the line against Bobby Lashley world title on the line, title for title. Yep. Like, because they had both been beating everybody. So, like, that makes sense. Like, Josh Alexander's a beast. He shouldn't have to give up his championship.
No, he's been destroying everybody.
Yeah, he should just get a title shot because he's the number one guy that isn't the world champion. You know what I mean? Like, it should just be that way. But, I mean, I get it. I like the concept. It's just it's interesting because they only bring it out, like, every few years or so.
Well, it's the same thing when it comes to the Feast or Fired match.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the concept of Feast or Fired, like, of the Feast or Fired.
Now it's called, like, no, well, the thing is, now they changed it. I believe the last one that they had a couple of years ago was just called Race for the Case.
And that's fine. You can do Race for the Case. Yeah. I think that, but here's the thing is, I don't know if I really like it to be this big battle royal of people. I think.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's so dumb how they just go up and they're all on poles and they like take them and throw them off.
Well,
and
other
people catch them too. Like, that's what makes me mad. It's like when somebody completely takes it down, but they're still not, it still doesn't mean it's theirs yet. Like, until the bell rings, someone can steal it from you. Like,
well, here's my thing is, make it where there's actual reasoning for it all. The people involved in the match, don't just have it where it's like, oh, I randomly got a briefcase and I'm some crappy wrestler. Not saying that they're really crappy, but, you know, but like, they're nobody, you know?
Hey, man, Maple Leaf Curry is who you need to look up. If you watch that Sacrifice, that famous Scott Steiner promo, Williams has the briefcase. He has the X Division briefcase. That's how him and Scott Steiner end up splitting up. Is like, that's only because I've watched that promo so many times that I had to look into. I was like, oh, I wonder what kind of briefcase PD had. And he had like the X Division briefcase or whatever. Or he had the world title briefcase. And like, that's why Scott Steiner turned on him.
Yeah.
Because he was like mad that he was getting the shot, you know, but like, yeah.
But my point of it,
like that.
Yeah, but my it's somewhat similar. But I mean, Petey Williams is someone.
He's great. No, I just mean that gimmick at that time.
I get it. I get it. But like, take Shark Boy. Shark Boy is a perfect example. Shark Boy goes into this match.
Yeah.
Shark Boy goes into this match. He has no tag team partner, so there's no reason for him to win a tag team one.
He's a shark man now.
Yeah.
He's been a shark man for a long time.
he gets the case that has the heavyweight title shot in there. He is nowhere near a caliber for a heavyweight title match. Get the hell out of here with that. X Division, maybe.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, he may have been champion briefly.
He might have been for X Division.
But like way back. And he used to be good though. He used to be in better shape, like, and stuff, like back in the day. And he was pushed like a little more. People liked his little Stone Cold gimmick and stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. But that's that's my point.
I agree.
So what I think they should do is they should have like, all right, we're gonna have six guys in there. And you can have it as a six-man match. Or a four-man match, however you want to do it, 4 to 6 men in the ring to go up for this, like for this one briefcase. One briefcase. You can do it in multiple matches to split it up between X Division.
I think there's a copyright thing somewhere where they couldn't use a briefcase. Same as like AEW had to use, God, I'm using quotations, the brass ring.
But that's what I'm saying is the Race for the Case thing, you know?
But it's still technically a briefcase. I think WWE owns the trademark on briefcases being hung under one ladder, one briefcase. Like, I think they
you don't have to do it. You don't have to put it under for a ladder. You can do it with the X Division cables.
That would be cool, actually. I'd like to see an Ultimate X where they actually had the case, like, instead, like, where you win the title shot.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Like, where if they had X Division guys and it's like, hey, you can break out into the main event if you win this match. Like, if you win this briefcase, you get a world title shot outside of the X Division. I mean, like, you get to go straight to the top.
I mean, realistically, they've had the Ultimate X matches where they've introduced a ladder to try to go instead of having to use the cables. Yeah. What's the difference? Match. What's the difference in doing that? You know, other than a regular ladder match, it's still being hung up. It's still a briefcase. You could raise the cables up.
No, that's higher. Different. Yeah, you're right. You know, yeah, they could. But they could just hang it on the. They could just hang it on the ropes, raise them higher, and make it where you still have to get a ladder to get it. Yeah,
right.
That would make sense. Yeah,
and then realistically, you can have four set matches that are like this: one for the women's division, one for the tag team division, one for the X division, one for the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Trust me, your fans are not going to be disappointed in seeing that. And as long as there are people that are legitimate contenders for that title, yeah. I mean, it's going to be money.
Oh yeah. I want to see like a women's Ultimate X match. That would be sweet.
It'd be sick.
That's a great idea. Like Impact, if like anybody happens to pass by this podcast while they're in the John, you know, please listen, do that. That'd be amazing. I'd love to see Deonna Purrazzo versus insert three other names here. And I would love to see that. Please make it happen.
But I mean, like it doesn't, Deonna Purrazzo would be awesome in that match, but with her being champion, yeah. I don't see that being happening right now, but I mean,
yeah, she's more of a,
like you could stick Su Young in, right?
Yeah.
You could stick Su Young in there.
Rosemary in there.
Rosemary. You could easily put in like Tasha Steelz.
Yep.
You could put in Tennille.
Yeah. Tennille would be good in there.
You could put in Taylor Wilde. You could put it. There's so many talented women in their knockouts division. You could easily go and put something like this on.
Yeah. And they're constantly getting new women in there and changing everything out and trying new things. So, and they got even up and coming women that I don't even know the name of yet that I'm sure by next year I'm going to be saying are the best thing going in women's wrestling. So, you know, it's you never know how it's going to go, but I like that Impact always just has they take care of their women's and X divisions. Their heavyweight division has been god awful at times, but everything else is good. It's just that's always been their problem is the main event.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing, their biggest draw when it came to their main event, other than Kenny Omega winning the title, and now Christian Cage winning it, was Tessa Blanchard having it, and it was exciting for all of like a month, 2 months, and then it got ridiculous.
Speaking out stuff, though, too, came like shortly after that, and that's how she got released. Like she was still champion. Like she got when that stuff started coming out, she was still the champion.
She was still the champion.
They suspended her or whatever, and then like 2 days later, she was like fired. They said they took the title off her. I mean, and then she was like fired like 2 days.
No,
later.
What happened with that story was because so yes. A lot of that happened, but she was still champion. She was still champion all the way through into lockdown, and she was in Mexico.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And she could not get back over the border. She wasn't permitted to. So because she couldn't go over the border to defend the title, they were like, "All right, well, we can't just sit here and have our champions, sitting back and." In Mexico, and we're still running a show, so they ended up trying like stripping her of the title.
Well, if that was the only case, they would have just stripped her of the title and then fired her.
Well, no, because here was the thing, her contract came up also during this time, so it wasn't her getting fired, her contract was up,
but then they would have signed her had that been the case.
Yeah, but
nobody wants to touch.
But why are you gonna sign somebody who can't come across the border to compete every
week? Also, why are you gonna sign somebody with nuclear online heat that even WWE won't take?
I agree with that, but that was the primary reasons for her being released, and not really released, but why they didn't re-sign her.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Let's switch gears.
Yep.
Let's switch gears on this one. We're going to go over to AEW Rampage now, which you were there for.
Yes, I was. I didn't even know, by the way. Do you know when I was there? Do you know how many people got up and left when Dynamite was over? And thank And thank God. No, no. But a lot of us didn't know. Like, I didn't know, because normally Rampage is like live. I didn't know that it was.
No, they've been taping the
show. Yeah, well, only for like the last 2 weeks. The first like 3 or 4 weeks were live.
The first couple weeks were live. This is only like the fourth week of the show.
Well, the CM Punk one was live.
No, this is the fifth week of the show.
So anyway, I was about to leave, and the guy behind me was like, yeah, they're about to do Rampage. And I was like, oh, because Tony Khan wasn't making no sense. Tony Khan comes out before the show starts, first of all, like I'm sure he does at every live event. And he comes out and he's like, starts talking about all these matches like they're about to happen, and then all of Dynamite happened and none of these matches happened. And I was like, you liar, Tony Khan. I was like, what are you telling me? I was like, what are you telling me to watch Dynamite next week? Is that what you came out to tell us about the show, about the matches they're having next week? I was like, you bastard. But no, so it turned out like a lot of those were like Rampage, because I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, I hope you get to see the Lucha Bros. I was like, the Lucha Bros are my favorite tag team. I was like, you will not be bored. Like that's the thing. And then like when Dynamite was over and there was no Lucha Bros match, I was like, no. But then they had one anyway, and yes, it was awesome. You got to see a lot of flips and jumps, and it was nice.
Yeah, I mean, Lucha Bros and Butcher versus the Blade, definitely match of the night.
Yeah, because of the hour, the only hour show that you have, you know, there's only a couple matches.
And I'm going to try to run down the card in just a little bit of for AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage this week, because both are going to be mind-blowing shows.
Yeah, I know. I'm so mad. You have no idea.
I know. I'm gonna finish just kind of going through Rampage really quick.
I live where the shows are going to be, guys, and I'm not going.
Nope. God. You chose the Newark show.
Hey, I don't care. I don't care.
Went to a great show, so.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for my Orange Cassidy shirt that's now coming in the mail as well, because I couldn't get one at the show. Also, fun fact, I didn't get to tell you beforehand, Andrew. I lost my CM Punk shirt that I paid $30 for.
Good job.
Yeah, great. So yeah, I think I left it in my hotel room, but whatever. So instead, though, my sweet, sweet girlfriend decided, all right, let's go on AEW Shop, powered by Pro Wrestling Tees, and let's get a. This sounds like an ad, but it's not. and let's get a whatever shirt you want. And I was gonna get a Redeem These Nuts. Yes, exactly. I was going to get a Redeem These Nuts. I really was, because it was up there. It's one of the best sellers. It's like number three behind CM Punk. Like CM Punk's first. I forget what the second one is. And then Redeem These Nuts is the third one of the week.
Oh my goodness.
On top sellers. But Amanda wouldn't let me get it. She wouldn't let me get it. So I had to get the Orange Cassidy shirt. Not the one with the picture. I got her that one because she really likes that one. But I got one that's an orange, like an actual orange in white, and has the number one in it, like a kid's coloring book. And it says at the top, orange equals one.
Okay.
So that's why. So like it's like a coloring book shirt, you know, and it's like you can color in the shirt orange. Yeah, it's awesome. That's, you know, bad. Like, yeah, you know how they have those coloring books?
Yeah, where, I know. Yeah,
they have 1, 2, 3. Three is
I have blue. I have a 5-year-old who has to do pink color by numbers right now. So yes,
it is. It says on it, color by numbers. That's what it says, and then it says orange equals one. I couldn't help it. I was like, that's a great shirt. I don't care. I'm gonna let my girlfriend color it in and be an idiot like a 5-year-old next time I go to a show, and it's gonna be great.
Oh my God. All right, let's just go and finish doing this countdown. Well, the rundown, I should say. Butcher and Blade attack along with Private Party on the Lucha Bros after the match. Pride and Powerful, aka Santana and Ortiz, come out, make the save. Yep. We had Anna Jay get the win over the Bunny, which was actually a pretty good match.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
No, it wasn't bad. And then after
Anna Jay's getting much better, by the way, too, because she's only been wrestling like a couple of years, and She's getting really over, especially, yeah, but they're both getting really over. Everybody seems to love them a lot, and like, because, especially her in the Dark Order storyline.
Yeah,
because of BTE.
Yeah.
The Sue Grayson storyline, if anyone knows about that, that's great. I want them to follow up on that. I'm so mad. Like,
but, so then after the match, Bunny and Penelope Ford knock out both Anna Jay and Ty Conti.
Yep.
Then randomly Matt Hardy just attacks a fan that dressed up like Orange Cassidy and then shaved his head.
I didn't even know like what was going on. Like none of us could really see, like all of a sudden, yeah, he was like pulling some guy out of the crowd. Like we saw like on the monitors, cause they were doing a lot of stuff like in the corner where there were people standing. So I couldn't see live. So I had to watch on the monitor, and they had this guy get pulled out, and they were like, you know, I was like, who is this guy? What's the point of this? Like, yeah, I get he's in the Orange Cassidy thing, but then it was like drawn on like really long. I felt like it didn't need, it felt, I don't know how long it actually was. It was probably only a couple of minutes, but it felt like it was,
yeah,
like
it was like
minutes long.
It was like maybe like a 2 minute segment.
It felt really long though, because the guy got so much like camera time. I felt like they all they had to do was really cut his ponytail or just shave a piece down his head to begin with.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they didn't have to both go in there with scissors and a buzzer and do it. And then
it was just stupid. And then Orange Cassidy just kind of with his slow approach just finally gets into the ring, and then they just run. And I'm like, not for nothing, but you have the numbers advantage to begin with. You have 2-on-1 right there. I'm not like, for, you don't even make an attempt to go after Orange Cassidy, which was stupid.
Yeah. I think they're playing up that Matt Hardy is somehow scared of Orange Cassidy because he's never been able to beat him yet in AEW. Maybe. But I just want to say really quickly, I think I ruined somebody's night because I like had to explain them, because they were like, oh man, how could they do that to a fan? They should sue. And I was like, no. And they were dead serious too. And they were like older than me. And I was like, dude. And I was like, no, I was like, listen, I was like, that guy probably wanted a haircut. He agreed to do this. He's friends with or family of one of the guys or something. Or so one of the
it's
guys
always a mark. It's a mark. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, you know what? That guy is going to have the time of his life tonight. Cause you know what? I'm sure he's getting a backstage pass and free merchandise, and he's going to get to meet the Young Bucks backstage and everything. So
it's always a plant that they put in the crowd.
Yeah, of course.
And it's always either like some enhancement talent or someone that's a friend or family, like you were saying, someone there, or someone even who works in like the administrative part of
Like some guy that's like some boom mic guy that does backstage things. It's like, hey, you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm an Orange Cassidy fan.
All right. Next two things we had was Ruby Riott and Britt Baker's promo, which I thought was great.
My girlfriend was upset that they didn't actually fight because she was like really excited to see Britt Baker wrestle. And she didn't get to see Britt Baker wrestle, but
that sucks.
Yeah, but she still enjoyed you, even though Britt was the heel. I was like, stop cheering for Britt Baker. I was like, you're supposed to be cheering for Ruby. I was like, well, Britt Baker is the bad guy. I know everyone still is anyway. Yeah. But like, I was like, a lot of people in my section were chanting Ruby Soho, especially because we were, you know, Soho is whatever it's called, a place in New York. It's part of the city or whatever. And
it's like a township in one
of
the boroughs.
It's like a section in one of the boroughs. Yeah. So like a lot of people from there were from New York. So there were a lot of big bigger than there had been last week prior, like Ruby Soho chants. Like there were a lot of people that were there for Ruby Soho. Of course we all still chanted for DMD Britt Baker, but you know, like I was like,
DMD.
Yeah, God, I wish I would have got to see her wrestle too. That upset me too, because I was super excited about that.
All right. Hold on. And then finally, we actually had Miro. Well, I'm not even going to go with the Miro El Fuego match. But afterward, I mean, Miro just destroyed Fuego.
That's upsetting. And then, to me, you know, I like Fuego's. That's upsetting to me.
I know. But then he sticks the keys in Fuego's mouth, puts them into the game over, and then he locks it in there until Sammy Guevara makes the save.
Yes, is, this was great, though.
Which was then, like, what I was alluding to and kind of discussing on the last show. It's going to be building towards the Sammy and Miro match, which I think is going to be great.
I'm so excited. And, yeah, and the reason why I got super excited about this is because, like, I was having this revelation or realization as he came out, and I was like, oh, my God, he's going to be the one that beats Miro. I was just thinking, because like I popped so hard when he came out, and so did everybody else. And I was like, no way, he's gonna beat Miro 100%. Not 100%. Yeah, yeah, you know, not 100%, but definitely you know, he has a good chance more than anybody else so far. Though what I don't like is I don't know, Sammy might have to like fight for Fuego's like contract back, because I don't know if you caught before this match started, the reason how Fuego got this match is that he put his AEW contract on the line for that, like, because Miro kept saying that he didn't earn it and he didn't deserve it.
Yep.
So I mean, I know that's only in storyline, like he's legitimately signed, but I mean like still, I don't know, like, because he got squashed so easily, and it was worth, like he got squashed more than he did in the first match. At least he got some offense in on the first match. Like, true. I feel like he got totally annihilated.
He did.
He should have got like one, at least one beginning like try. Like
he started to at one point, and then he just got shut down.
Yeah, shut down real quick. Yeah.
All right. Really quick, I'm gonna run down the card for AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage, at least what I'm able to pull up right now.
Yep.
And then I actually have some news that I'm actually going to share, which I actually just saw. I saw Jericho had posted it first, and now I saw it off of the AEW site as well. But first up, we have AEW Dynamite Grand Slam, FTR with Tully Blanchard to take on Sting and Darby Allin.
Slingshot suplex, please.
Go ahead. We have AEW Women's World Title Match, Britt Baker defending against Roby Soho.
Yeah.
We have MJF versus Brian Pillman Jr. Cody Rhodes taking on Malakai Black. Yeah,
that's what you're going to hear. Just going to say, that's what you're going to hear when that match also goes on. Crickets.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
a CM Punk live interview 48 hours before his first TV match in over 7 years.
He's turning heel soon. He's going to have to.
Will have to eventually. And then finally, which is going to be your main event match. It's got to be your main event match. Kenny Omega with Don Callis against Bryan Danielson.
Oh, that's going to be great.
That's going to be amazing. Now, on the flip side of everything, we have on AEW Rampage, which is going to be a special 2-hour show this week. You have Anna Jay taking on Penelope Ford.
Yep.
The Lucha Brothers, Santana and Ortiz, taking on Private Party, The Butcher and The Blade.
Yeah, nice.
Adam Cole and the Young Bucks taking on Christian Cage and Jurassic Express.
Ooh.
Powerhouse. God.
Okay. I was just going to say, can they please just like say, announce that that's for the trios titles?
Yeah, right.
That would be great.
That would have been fantastic. Great, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Powerhouse Hobbs versus CM Punk. First time in 7 years on TV.
But that's going to be cool because we'll get to see. It's a total opposite of Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Punk could throw Darby Allin around. Now Hobbs can throw Punk around. So it's going to be a different style of match, I feel like. And it's going to be like really cerebral on Punk's part, where he's going to have to pick him apart and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting. I think he's going to get thrown around a bunch, and he's going to bump for Hobbs like a lot. It's going to be a fun match. Definitely.
I think so. Then we have Men of the Year with Dan Lambert taking on Chris Jericho and Jake Hager.
Dan Lambert and seven other people.
Yeah, probably. And then, I'm assuming this has got to be your main event match, Eddie Kingston and John Moxley taking on Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer.
Yes, which they put over, heavy this week. It's all a blur because, like I said, I watched them back to back. I was at the end of Dynamite last week.
End of...
Yeah, end Rampage. Of Dynamite.
No, yeah, end of Dynamite, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, end of Dynamite. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I almost said that too, though, and so it's all right. I like how they came through the crowd. They started the whole thing. They have the alignment because Archer, obviously, where he made his name as Lance Archer was in New Japan.
Yep.
And he was part of Zack Sabre Jr. and Suzuki's stable, where him and Zack Sabre Jr. are basically the only Americans like allowed in the stable because they're just so like badass that like, you know, they're allowed to be in it. So
definitely. All right. Now for the announcement that I actually saw right when we started doing Rampage. AEW and the Owen Hart Foundation enter into a relationship to honor world-renowned wrestler Owen Hart's legacy.
That's awesome. I'm so glad because I know how much his wife dislikes the WWE and how she'll never let them induct him and will never work with them whatsoever to do anything. Yep.
That's why this is a huge announcement. Yeah.
Which is great because, you know, I think that she realizes, though, that, you know, the fans loved him. And just because the company is pieces of crap doesn't mean that you need to deprive the fans of, you know, your husband who people loved. You know what I mean? So, like, who made people's careers, who made people start wrestling in the first place or watching it in the first place.
Yep.
So I think she understands that and she likes the way that AEW operates because a lot of people have seen their track record and stuff so far.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I mean you have Jericho there who's been, you know, a great friend to the family. But here's the official release statement that I found on All Elite Wrestling Instagram. September 20th, 2021, All Elite Wrestling and the Owen Hart Foundation, a nonprofit charity which provides a vast range of assistance and opportunities to individuals in need across the world, are collaborating to honor the legacy of late wrestler Owen Hart, a beloved figure in the professional wrestling community and beyond. This collaboration includes launching the annual Owen Hart Cup tournament within AEW, which will see the winner receive a cup known as the Owen, as well as the production and distribution of a unique and original Owen Hart merchandise, including specified retail goods, as well as the upcoming AEW console video game. This alliance incorporates opportunities to develop Owen Hart action figures via AEW's partnership with Jazzwares apparel, posters, and additional collectible merchandise. Owen Hart is survived by his wife, Dr. Martha Hart, who spearheads the Owen Hart Foundation with a mission of providing global aid to at-risk communities by scholarships, housing, various forms of international assistance, food drives, backpack giveaways, and Christmas projects.
She's sticking it to them.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, continue.
AEW's relationship with the Hart family dates back to our inaugural pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, in 2019, and Owen's influence is still felt today, said Tony Khan, AEW CEO, GM, and head of creative. To extend his memory and his legacy even further through this agreement is a powerful and meaningful moment for the entire wrestling community. The Owen Hart Foundation is extremely pleased to partner with AEW in this powerful joint venture to honor Owen's substantial international wrestling career and the lasting influence he and his craft has had in the sport.
Man, that's fantastic. But like, yeah, all that stuff that they're doing, like all the floodgates are open for all that stuff, that I feel like that's just a double stick to Vince McMahon right there.
Like, I definitely feel like part of it is to stick to him.
Yeah. Also, I think she's wanted to do this for years. It's just she would never work with WWE and there was not another like reputable company. Cause I mean, TNA wasn't big enough for like, it wouldn't have meant anything. You know what I mean? Like this means something. And this is great that for like the first time ever, because I don't remember, I don't think he was ever, yeah, because he might have passed away before the the actual like first WWE game came out, WWF game, I mean, for like the Nintendo 64, because I don't remember. I had WrestleMania 2000 and I had whatever the other one is that everybody plays.
No Mercy.
Yeah, No Mercy. And I don't, yeah, he wasn't in there. So,
no, he died in 99.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had WrestleMania 2000 came out in 99, I believe, because it used to come out the year earlier. But,
yep.
Yeah, but so yeah, he was already gone at that point, and yeah, she had already said no to all that. So yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I'm so happy that because Owen Hart is my favorite Hart, you know, and we all know this.
Brett.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of offense, Brett. But
well,
okay.
we know how you feel, but yeah.
I know you love. Yeah, it's all right. Hey. And it's right because you like the big brother. I like the little brother.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong. Like Owen.
Owen Hart is still my favorite. Still my favorite Hart brother.
Oh, you just super respect Bret Hart for.
Oh yeah, I super respect the heck out of Bret Hart. Yeah. He is an incredible performer. And honestly, had there not been Owen Hart in the professional wrestling world, Bret Hart easily would have been my favorite Hart. But Owen Hart had a much different take in wrestling, and he had the high flying and technical ability, which is what I like when it comes to wrestling. I like the technical aspect. Yeah. I like the ground, you know, the grounding submissions, but I like the aerial aspect of things as well.
That's funny, because I just went back and watched the other Dark Side of the Rings, just watched Dynamite Kids. Actually, I already saw the Owen Hart one, but I was thinking to myself, had both of them, you know, had Owen not prematurely passed away and had Dynamite Kid not ruined his entire body, they could have been like the greatest tag team. Yeah, they would have. Oh, my God. Instead of the Bulldogs, it should have been like, and the Hart Foundation, it should have been Owen and Dynamite Kid, because they had the same style. But of course, they wouldn't do that at the time because they only liked really, really big guys, and both of them are smaller. So even though they could both eat me for breakfast, but like whatever.
Oh boy. All right, that concludes our show for today. We will be back tomorrow. I actually have to just basically tidy up a few things to make sure that we're on schedule for the second taping for tomorrow as well. Yep. But we are definitely gonna be back this week with the next installment of the Survivor Series rundown. We're going to be bringing to you Raw and SmackDown this week. Both shows are going to be coming over tomorrow. So
yeah, and when we do have the Survivor Series, of course, once again, we have Chris from Once Upon a Turnbuckle coming back again. Correct.
Well, that's where it stands right now. I gotta
yeah, make sure as long as Andrew doesn't mess it up. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't all drop right. the ball.
All right,
messaging him right now.
All right, cool. So we will figure it out. We're gonna have SmackDown and Raw coming to you hopefully normal, like usual. But if we have to push that one because Chris isn't available, we'll let you know. We'll work it out. Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yes, of course. So yeah. We'll
all right. That ends the show. I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. And join us tomorrow and find out what's on tap.